Yep, I get it. I know exactly what you're thinking. Here we go, another podcast. Well, you know what? I'm here to tell you something. This just isn't any other podcast. This is the Vision Life 365 podcast, where we give you a front row seat to organic missionary work. My name is Jason Sykes, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary Hale, and we're coming to you from beautiful San Pedro de Macorís, Dominican Republic. We're here serving with the DR Vision team. Our podcast is designed to encourage you towards Great Commission living. Along the way, you get to see the good, the bad, and even sometimes the ugly of missionary work. We hope to encourage and challenge you on your personal sanctification and ministry walk. Here we go. Mr. Gary, what you been up to, brother?
I don't even know how to answer that in a concise manner. It's just everything.
You know? I'm the king of putting you on the spot. Every time we get together, I throw you on the spot.
Sure, you need to give me like a note card of possible questions.
I'm on off the cuff guy, Gary's. We got to prep him ahead of time. So,
yeah, I didn't bring my laptop in today. I just have my iPad. So.
Well, less things to go off during the middle of the podcast, right?
That's true.
We're good. I got something pretty cool to share with you that happened in December. We're just rolling the first days of February. No, actually happened in January. My parents came down to visit and they were staying out at Juan Dolio, which if you've never heard is Gary's heard, but you guys may not have. It's kind of a resort area and they were staying there. We went out to visit them and the caretaker for the property, just a young guy, probably 22 years old. Armando is his name. So he came to talk one night and we were sitting outside and talking and just started opening up about things of the Lord and talked about salvation. And he was dead on his salvation testimony. And so I said, hey, man, you know, if you want to, I'm willing to sit down and we could start getting together and studying the scriptures together. He says, man, I really like that. So bought him a Bible. The Bible just came in the other day, gave him his Bible. And hopefully Saturday I'll be going out to start my first discipleship with Armando. So I'm pretty pumped about that.
Oh yeah, that's incredible. I mean, it's the opportunities that the Lord brings just in the course of life. If we're sensitive to that, those things pop up and yeah, that's exciting. So Armando.
Well, you know, what's funny too, is because coming here and ministering in the moments and days and months of COVID, ministry hasn't panned out. I don't think anybody expected ministry to pan out. You and I have had to put a few things on the back burner for a little bit to figure out how to kind of work things. We just came through another pretty stringent, what do they call it? Toque de queda here. What do you call it?
Curfew.
We came through a pretty strict.
I'll interpret for you.
Gary's my official interpreter. Yeah. We came through
No speaking in tongues.
But we came through a pretty tough one here. This one, they rolled us back to noon on Saturdays and Sundays, and that actually made it hard for church, even just to meet. And then during the week was what, 5, I think it was?
5 o'clock.
And they let us travel in our cars till 7.
But be honest, when did you get inside?
Well, I will tell you a funny one. You know, at the very end when my parents are here, that they changed it. I thought they had changed it, and I thought it was supposed to be 8. And, you know, you can drive around your car till what I thought was 8 was actually 7. And so we left Juan Dolio at 7:30 to give us plenty of time to get home by 8, but the curfew was still 7 o'clock. I made a mistake on the date. So Armando, I'm glad you don't speak English. He helped us get out without having to drive past the police station.
He knew the route.
We went through one of the parking lots there and got onto the main road. And thankfully, Jesus knew we were innocent in our hearts and protected us all the way home. And we got home with no incident. So,
That's good
because we did get stopped on another night. But thankfully, we were on our way home, you know, during the hour that we were supposed to. But anyway, so I'm pretty pumped about this new opportunity with Armando.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, it's like you said, we have to, I don't know that we have to generate the ministry. I don't think that's the word I would use, though I just did. But I would think it's being sensitive to the opportunities that arise through this and then just moving as the Lord kind of opens these opportunities and being sensitive. It's definitely a change from a programmatic mindset to where you set the whole schedule for the next month. And this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to be. I mean, with these changes, I mean, it can fluctuate and, you know, by the end of this week, they might change the curfew again. And here we are. I mean, so everything's just kind of in a flux, and we just have to be sensitive and look for the opportunities and just be present where we are today.
Yeah.
What's in front of us.
Well, and we have another situation here too, and not to drag this whole situation out, but not only do you have the government situation that we're working through, but you also have, you also have the situation too, where, you got such a diversity now. And I mean, you drive down the street, you got some people have no mask on at all. You've got some people have two masks on. You got some people who are in the car with no mask, and other people. So you have that same diversity who you're going to church with, who you're rubbing shoulders with in the street, which also makes activities, even things at your house, are a little bit interesting. I mean, I've had plumbers at my house before. Well, I mean, Gary, you came, 3 weeks ago and put a mask on, and I was the only one in the room. I felt a little bit, remember that? You remember when you had your mask on? It was just me.
I think so. 3 weeks. I can't remember last week.
But when I get a plumber at my house, I'm like, you know what? In my house, we don't wear them. If you want to, you're welcome to. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you what to do. Some of them do, some of them don't. So,
my favorite are the motor taxis, because I think the majority of them are wearing their masks, but they're not wearing their helmets, and so. As they're racing down the road, they've got their mask on, so they're not going to die of the virus.
Right. But, okay, I saw something the other day, and I'm going to ask you this. This is a cultural question. You guys are in on culture right now. I'm asking Gary a deep, dark cultural question here about the Dominican. I saw a guy stop right before he went to pick up somebody. He didn't have his helmet when he was driving down the road, but as soon as he went to pick somebody up, mm-hmm. he put his helmet on. Is there some kind of rule that says if they're just putting around, they don't have to wear their helmet, but if they're driving with somebody, they do have to wear their helmet?
I'm not sure, but I would say that it's normal for motor taxis to have their helmet in their hand or on their crossbar.
Yeah.
And so they'll be driving down the road and they see the police, because the police do the checks.
Yes.
And when they, I mean, it is a law that they're supposed to be wearing it, but I believe the law is at any time. I don't think there's an exception. So probably he was concerned about being pulled over by. And so that's always funny, because it's just random. They'll have days that they set up these, traps or whatever. And so motorcycles get caught them, and then they get their
motorcycles hauled away.
Yeah, all that on a big flatbed truck. And mm-hmm. so, you see people on that day, you'll see more people wearing helmets, but you'll see a lot with a helmet in their hand. And so they're driving with a helmet in their hand, and then they see the cop and they'll try to put it on. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be strapped on. It doesn't have to be, a certain specification of helmet. I mean, we've seen catcher's helmets. We've seen batting helmets. We've seen old Army helmets. We've seen, and most of the time they're not even strapped on. So, I mean, as soon as contact's made, the helmets
kids,
go flying.
Kids bicycle helmets on people. Yes.
I think I remember seeing a bucket one time.
you got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
You see it all here. So, but back to the masks. I mean, everybody's all over the place. I mean, pretty much, I think the only place where it's consistent is our church service.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just everybody's got it down. That's what we do. But once you leave, it's all over the place,
But it does make for a challenging ministry, because you really don't ever know until you talk and then talk to somebody personally, what their personal preference is or whatever in their home or what, you know what I'm saying? If they're in a closed area. And then the other thing is, now if you've got a mixed group, well, then sometimes somebody's totally cool with a mask off, and it just, I'm not going to say it makes ministry hard. It just makes it interesting. You're trying to tread some careful things, not offending, and yet being open and having ministry. But
I think the principle that kind of underlies all that is love.
Yep.
What would be the loving response by me, even though I might have a personal
preference is different,
what would love require of me in this instance? And so, we're still talking COVID, a year later now. So, I mean, we didn't actually start talking until the podcast. But the world is talking COVID. We're still talking about masks. We're still talking about distancing. Now vaccines. Now strains. Different strains.
Mutant strains of COVID.
The only thing mutant that I ever liked was the Ninja Turtles.
Oh boy, never did get into it. Never did get into it. No,
I had the video game, I think, at one time.
Yeah,
I think I wasn't hardcore, but I liked the
Turtles. Parents didn't allow me to do that kind of stuff. I'm just kidding.
Probably not. Probably were. Probably were evil or something.
Well, do you remember? Did you hear about Dave Benoit? Did you ever? Come on, somebody from way back in the Independent Baptist Church days of old in the '80s. He went around and did stuff. Dave Benoit, Turmoil in the Toy Box. Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, that's the story of the Smurf that had blood all over its mouth and took a bite out of the kid's neck in the middle of it.
That's traumatic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's disturbing now just to hear that there was a guy. So he would go out there and talk about this stuff.
Demonic Smurfs. Yeah. There was, anyway, I know that some of that stuff had some undertones to it, He-Man and the Smurfs.
I like He-Man too.
I liked. I'm glad we put that past tense. You
manually. I got the poster in my wall. Allison's like, "What are you doing?"
Next week's podcast.
Action figures.
You didn't know, but Gary's been working out. He's doing his He-Man days. Here we got 9 minutes of intro, Gary. 9 minutes of intro. Well, this is no secret to us, but it is probably a secret to you guys. We try to do a podcast every week, but we have put a few in the bank because sometimes Mr. G has to be out on the road traveling or things come up. Last week I had a doctor's appointment and I think it was the week before we sat down and actually tried to do one. We got talking and we talked and then never did the podcast. But anyway, we got lots accomplished that day.
Yeah, well, we changed it up this time though.
So make sure we get this podcast we're going to talk again, but we decided to get the podcast done first. But anyway, we've got coming up here at the end of February. We are in February right now. Independence Day. And so I wanted to hear, not in the States, here in the Dominican. And so I wanted Gary to kind of address that a little bit. Let's talk through that. And then I'd like to kind of pull that in a little bit to what we just experienced in our own country and maybe encourage some folks, because I know anytime things are politically unsettled, if things are politically unsettled here, we feel them, even as missionaries, even though we don't, this isn't our home, even though we live here. We feel when there's political turmoil or upset or things are insecure, even during the elections and stuff, we send out messages, you send out messages, hey, just letting you guys know if there's protests or whatever, might want to lay low for a day or two. So anyway, tell us about Independence Day here in the Dominican. How do they celebrate it? Ministry opportunities.
Yeah, the 27th of February, 1844 is the independence from Haiti. And, not to give you a boring history lesson, but, it's very important to the people and the culture here because it's the establishment of the country and the sovereignty of the Dominican Republic. And so, I think in one of the first podcasts, we were a little bit drier, but I talked a little bit about, some of the backstory. I won't repeat all of that, but, you have colonialism and, you had the ceding of this part of the country over to France. And then when Haiti was able to, in their revolution and against France and Haiti came in charge of the whole island. And so 1844 marks that, that time when the Dominican Republic was formed. And so then there was subsequent years, there was kind of a connection back to Spain. And then there was, sort of a confirmation or reaffirmation of freedom from Spain. And so, even at one point there was a talk of, the Dominican Republic coming under the umbrella of the United States. And so there's, lots of interesting history back there that someone can, you can Google it and there are books about it. And so if you're interested, if you ever would be interested in an English account, I think the name is Francis Pons, P-O-N-S, and it's the Dominican Republic. And it's a big, thick, and I've worked my way through a lot of it, but it gives you a lot of the backstory.
Or you can call 1-800-244-GARY, G-A-R-Y, 1-800-244-GARY.
Don't give them that number. You don't even know what that is. Somebody's going to actually call that. It's going
to
be
operators are standing by to get you your.
You have no idea what number you just gave.
Yeah, that's true. I need to be real careful. I may get some surprises. Yeah. I bet I'm going to need emails on that one. Anyway.
Yeah, so, as far as, what it means to the people here, one of the lines of the hymn, the national hymnal is, or the anthem, is that if we're enslaved 10,000 times, we'll be free 10,000 times. And so I think it kind of echoes or is going back to, the turbulence over the colonial time and who's in charge of this part of the island and all that. And so, if we're enslaved 10,000 times, we'll be free 10,000 times. And so there is a, there's a celebration of the sovereignty of the Dominican Republic and the people. It's really important to the people, very proud of their country. And, you know, you can see this when you go to the stadium, everybody stands. And, well, when you could go to the stadium, I mean, we can't go to the stadium still, but when you can, in the national anthem plays, people stand, and it's very respectful. And, yeah, there's just a lot of pride in that. So just like back home, you know, the Independence Day would be days off, you know, a day off. Maybe people would be grilling out, going to the park, going to the beach, you know, just relaxed atmosphere. And then at night there would be fireworks. And
so that it's very similar to the way we do things in the States.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty much the same thing. You have activities and you know, you have fireworks at night. And of course, we have fireworks here sometimes. I don't really have a reason for a holiday. If you've heard
of them. Oh, my word.
Have you heard them out to your place?
yes, Gary. The thing is, we live in the hood. You know what I'm saying? I've been told by Dominicans.
Y'all need to move on up.
Yeah, we in the hood. And I've been described by my wife as being boring. I've rang in the last several New Year's in every country I've been in bed. So I didn't want to change tradition this year, and But we have a big flat roof on our house, and my wife went up with the kids and said it was just awesome because you could see from our house that you could see the fireworks all over the city in every direction, I'm sure from the stadium and different places here in town. But this is interesting because this is a world of firsts for us. We're learning, you know, in Venezuela and things were different than they are here. There was no patriotism whatsoever. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember at church, we, you know, as Americans, we made a big deal about the Independence Day in Venezuela, but that was really the only place they made any kind of like, you know, that was the only place that was important because when you got out in the street, there was no fireworks, there was no nothing, nobody had any patriotism. It was just, they're frustrated with the situation there and there's no real celebrating it. But
yeah, that's really different here. Because you know, people are celebrating in a celebratory, atmosphere, festivities. And I think, you know, as it relates to, you know, how do we play that as far as, or how do we, you know, what do we do as, you know, Americans that are down here? And I just embrace that. I want to be sincere. I don't want to act like I'm something that I'm not in that. We have no problem, you know, hanging out a flag or, you know, waving the Dominican flag, and Dominicans love it. I mean, when we're really, and doing that does not mean that I'm saying anything negative about my own country.
No.
It's just identifying with the people.
Let's jump in here for a second because we're going to preach on this for a while. I think this is what you brought is good, and I don't want to waste a bunch of time on it, but I learned both here, so far I've learned a couple little things here that I'm still in the learning process. For instance, Dominicans always say, ya usted sabe, mm-hmm. ya tú sabe. Armando, every time he sent me messages on my phone, that's where I learned it because he would, you know, he's like, hey, whenever you came out here, you know, I'll take care of stuff for your parents and ya tú sabes, now you know, ya tú sabes.
I was wondering if I was going to have to translate for you.
Okay, thank you, Gary, thank you. Gary, he's on by, he's Siri, he's ready to go, he's just like Siri on the iPhone. And there's little things like that, or here they say, que lo que, which is like, hey, what's up, you know, or what's going on. And little things like that, jokingly, or just learning the culture, just like throwing a flag out there, is such an embracing thing to people, and they love it. Yeah. They love it because you are embracing and identifying with their culture, and it's a huge open door for the gospel. Doesn't mean you're rejecting your country. Doesn't mean we don't love the United States, but... Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be a fool to be here if you didn't like being here, too.
Years ago, I was impacted by a missionary family. They've since moved back after, you know, 15 or more years of ministry here. It was a Webb family up in Santiago. We struck up a friendship with them very early on. Allison knew John from her time at in college. And so anyway, in fact, her parents had an impact in their life and their surrendering to missions and all that. But anyway, you know, I didn't know them. And so we were newly married. We came down here. We met the Webbs. At some point, we went to their house. And when you walk in their house, you just see all this artwork that's local flavor. Mm-hmm. And that really impacted us because they were very comfortable in their skin, but they also embraced they embraced the local culture here, the Dominican Republic. And so you saw different art pieces. And you know, from being in our house, that really influenced us. We were like, you know, we don't want to put up things that don't look like they belong here. And so we have just made it sort of a hobby of ours, and we enjoy looking for paintings and looking for artwork that we think looks cool. And so it's, you know, we're always on the lookout for something like that. And so we put that up. Well, what does that, what message does that send to a Dominican that comes?
Did you embrace it?
Yeah. And there's like, man, you know, this is, this feels at home. And so for us, you know, and now that would be a tip that I would give to a new missionary is, you know, be comfortable in your skin, be yourself, but learn to continue to identify, with the people. And, you know, I would say that even goes beyond, it goes beyond artwork. It goes into the foods you eat and all that.
Sure.
I mean, if you're invited to sit down with Dominicans and you're like, I don't like that, I'm going to grab a burger at McDonald's. You know, you're just sending a subtle little message that, you know, you're not embracing.
Kind of like you did a few years ago. Was it Christmas or New Year's when you couldn't eat at that one family's house and you offended them?
Oh, I don't remember that. I mean, you're bringing up my past. I don't know, man.
I'm busting you, man.
It's all covered.
Remember the story that you were saying you have to get eat a little bit at everybody's house, and you were so loaded up on food.
Yeah, but that was not because I was eating American. That was because I got invited to three different events.
Well, and typically, and so, just like Venezuela, it is not hors d'oeuvres that are light hors d'oeuvres. Typically Latin American food, I don't care where you go, here or anywhere, it's heavy stuff. I mean, it's cornmeal type stuff or something that's kind of a like mango or it's stuff like that. It's not, you know, you're not going to eat, even if you eat a spoonful or two, I mean, you can get full quick. You get mango. I've seen small servings of mango and you eat that and you're like, you know, you're full. Mango is like a banana, the plantain, the cooked up in a
all mashed up
with onions. They good.
Yeah, it's green.
It's very good.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think the texture and the look of it doesn't always look. It's not the greatest thing. But,
yeah, you do. You know. You definitely have to. But that's just about with anything. In Venezuela, we did a soup.
Yeah.
And they put bananas in the soup, or plantains, and it didn't look good.
Yeah.
But you get used to it. It's got a flavor, different flavor to it. But anyway.
Okay, so we're talking about...
Totally segued off of that into no man's land.
So we're going to circle back around to Independence Day and just say that I think it's you know, it's an opportunity for people to celebrate. And despite the differences, people are very proud of their country. And so as American missionaries, as we can embrace that with them, what's that look like in the church? You know, sometimes they'll want to do something a little bit patriotic in the church service. And I don't... sorry to... slap the table. You know, I don't...
Gary getting his side, eh?
I don't really get into that as far as I let, you know, our leader of music kind of do that. He kind of knows where the boundaries are. And I... because I know we do that back home, you know, patriotic services and all that. And I, you know, personally, I wanted to stay as close as we can to just center in on the gospel and what we're about. But I also understand we live in the culture here. And so, you know, if we want to put a, you know, we have the Dominican flag up somewhere here and, you know, yeah, we're going to do that, but we're not going to make this about, you know, country. And so I'm probably already offending half of our listeners.
Well, and that's okay. Cause I think this is a good topic. You and I talked about a few minutes ago, and we're actually segueing into something that's near and dear probably to the hearts of many. And we're probably not going to connect with everybody on it, but I think this is a good, I think it's good to be reminded because I look at our ministry team. You know, I guess you could say technically I would be Republican, but I'm conservative. I'd rather just say I'm conservative because I don't agree with everything all the Republicans do all the time, nor do I agree with all the things that the Democrats do. Traveling was very interesting. I went to a church one time and I was instructed before I got in the pulpit. We were an inner city church. And so you need to realize we're an inner city church. And so political affiliations here are probably different than you're used to from being in the South. And so it's okay. We'll let you embrace whatever you want to, just don't do it from the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was very wise. I thought that was a great, but here we are, excuse me, we're on the tail end of our country, the United States, having gone through an election and obviously some raw emotions involved in that. And I think there's a traditional viewpoint, as you were talking about a couple minutes ago here, of equating spirituality with patriotism. And please do not, I want to, you know, give a little disclaimer here. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be patriotic. I'm very patriotic. I love the United States. But my Bible's real clear. I'm a sojourner. I'm a foreigner. My citizenship isn't here, and I'm here for a time and I'm here for a season, and I need to be involved with my community as best as possible. But then when things like we just have gone through happen, how do we respond to those things? How do we, what's the biblical, you know, and is it just, we're just going to stand up for our rights, or, you know, how do we navigate those waters? And I think this is a good topic to talk about a little bit on this same subject of Independence Day here and elections here in the States. And so kind of interested in your input. And I'll be honest, Gary and I've talked some of these things. We don't always see 100% eye to eye, but I think these things are great. And I think social media has robbed us a little bit of the sincerity and honesty of being able to have a slightly different viewpoint and still being friends at the end of the day too.
Yeah, certainly. And I think, you know, when it comes to Independence Day, you know, again, we want to celebrate the freedoms we have. We want to celebrate the sovereignty of the country, what it means to be Dominican, and, you know, just the love and the excitement that's with people. We want to be a part of that. And so I don't think we want to put that down. We certainly don't want to ignore it.
Right.
And so, you know, I think you just you embrace that and become part of that and be thankful that the Lord led you to this country and be very gracious. You know, it goes back to the principle of, you know, you're talking about your family. You know, you can talk about your family. And you might talk about them in a harsh way. I don't know. I mean, you never have, but just as an example, if careful, your family's listening.
Careful, Gary. But, I want to apologize to all my family members out there who might be listening.
Let me put it in my, okay, maybe we need to switch this around. Put it in my family. I can talk about my family, you know, and I can say, you know, I'm disappointed with this or I don't like this.
Right.
Okay. But if you start talking about my family, now that's a different story. Yep. That's received differently. It's the same thing with the Dominican Republic. There's been many times that Dominicans in a conversation that I'm involved in will really start laying it on with things that they don't like. I'd be very careful.
I'm very careful about jumping in there and
adding on that, because they're going to remember that. They're going to remember what I added, what I said. And it's better for me to kind of pipe down and let them do the talking.
Do you know what I found to be a good thing in those situations is just ask questions. Kind of ask open-ended questions, let them answer according to the way they feel, but just kind of almost not surprised in a way like stupid. You know, duh. But ask the question, really, well, how come you feel that way? What's going on that makes you feel that way? Or something happened recently? Yeah. You know, cause most of the time they're pretty up on their own stuff. They know what's going on in the back of and sometimes it's stuff we don't even know about. They're like, oh yeah, did you hear about this the other day? And you're like, oh, I didn't know that. But just a genuine sincerity, and it puts it back. I don't mean this in a bad way, but it puts it back on them, makes them explain why they feel that way. And it's not us going, oh yeah, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. You know, cause like you said, for some reason, it will be remembered that we had a bad perception, and it's true. It's true.
Yeah, and you know, this goes the other way too. Dominicans will have their opinion about the United States. For instance, I remember riding down the car full of Dominicans. They began talking, other ministry leaders, they began talking about the foreign policy of the United States, and they didn't understand why we were involved in all these different things. Now, I had a decision to make. Am I going to pop? They didn't ask my opinion. They know I'm in the car. But they had their own opinion about the foreign policy of the United States. Now, am I going to get so offended that they're talking and giving their opinions that I might disagree with, that I'm going to get into a big debate here and create, you know, a friction that is just not, I mean, Jason, it comes back to what is my first priority? It just comes back to that. What is my first priority?
Even
the heavenly kingdom.
Exactly. Even the United States right now, things may not have gone politically the way we would have wanted them, or everybody would have wanted it to go. And I'm not trying to pull sides here. All I'm saying is, everybody's on social media, or for most people are, they know what's going on. And probably if you're listening to a podcast, you're on some type of social media, but it doesn't have to define who we are. You and I talked about that a few minutes ago. Whoever the president is in the White House doesn't determine what goes on in my house.
Right.
My job as a believer is still to make disciples, and that hasn't changed whether Joe Biden or Donald Trump is in the White House, because my job is, and my allegiances and my patriotism is beyond where I live physically. It's to an eternal kingdom. I read, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 12. I realize that we're here. I'm stranger and sojourner for a time, and that my job hasn't changed. And, you know, I think there's some good things to pull out about this, even through the stuff we're going in the States. And I love what you said, even internationally is, you know, we are known. I think I mentioned this in the podcast, and I'll mention it again. I never forget when I was in Costa Rica and my neighbor, they were going through something, and I was like, well, I don't understand why you guys just don't stand up and do something about it. And she said, Jason, we weren't brought up that way. That's not part of our culture. That's not even part of our history. She says, we don't even have a national army or militia. She says, we depend on you guys to take care of us. She said, so it's you guys, you know, got your independence. You know, you had to fight for your independence, and that fighting mentality has been part of your culture and your history. She says, so that's part of your mentality. And I'll never forget that clicking and going, well, you got a point. I never thought about it that way. So now I understand when, like you said, you're driving down the road and people are talking about the U.S. and we kind of get made out to be a bully a little bit. You kind of understand why, because from the perception of other people who haven't lived this like we have, or it's been our culture, then it is seemed a little bit bullyish that we just show up and fix everything all the time. And you know what I'm saying? And so doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but you also have to express your disagreement either, because there's a bigger job at hand, and that's the gospel.
Now, let me give you a real life example.
Uh-oh.
Of what this happened. Now, this is going to be pretty heavy. I don't want anybody to cancel their subscription to the podcast. Okay.
Does this need music, Gary?
It might need a little bit of music. Some drama.
Drama?
Yeah, drama music.
Like this kind of drama music?
No, that's too sweet.
Oh, drama as in like action movie.
Yeah, action movie.
Okay. Here we go.
That's appropriate.
Here we go.
Okay. So several years ago in the Capitol, at one of the state universities, there's a protest. They are burning the American flag.
Row.
Yeah, that's deep. Okay, so one of the missionaries, American missionary friend of mine, gets on and says, you know, my family fought for this country.
I love this with the music.
Yeah, and so I fought for this country. I love our country, the United States. I'm sorry that, you know, they're burning our flag at the university. Okay, that's pretty much it. Another American missionary gets on the same post, and he says, he was sad to see all this, and that the United States should have taken over this podunk of a country when we had an opportunity in the past. Yeah, now what type of music do you have for that? Now, the original post by the one missionary was just expressing sadness that they were burning the flag.
I think that would be that should have been.
Yeah. So the first missionary, you know, expressed what I thought was definitely within any Dominican in his church could read that and not be offended. Now, we've got several levels here. They're burning the American flag. So the patriotic side is saying, what in the world? What are we doing? Okay, the first American missionary expressed, you know, his sadness of that. His family had fought, you know, for the country. There's relations and all that, and he hated to see that. Second missionary jumped on and said this country should have taken over this podunk of a country. Very offensive.
Oh, yeah.
Very offensive. And the problem with that is that, you know, he's bringing in the sovereignty issue of this, you know, of the United States and the Dominican Republic, the relations. And the other problem with that is, on a practical level, our church people, we had done things with this other missionary's church people. Oops. And our people are on Facebook and are on, you know, social media. And so when you're saying that the United States should have taken over this podunk of a country, That's highly offensive. I was offended for him. Now, I'm upset about what's going on with the American flag, but I got to tell you, I'm more upset because that's First Kingdom. I mean, what's first priority?
Yeah, and I think I've learned something in ministry, and that is, and this is actually a bit relieving to a certain point. I don't want this to sound like I'm a wash up or I don't deal with issues. I do deal with issues. In fact, my wife says I'm too confrontational sometimes, but that's another marriage counseling episode later on. But anyway, moving along.
I'll spin that off.
Yeah, watch it, Gary. You know, but the thing is, I just lost my train of thought, Gary. Totally derailed.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you got the blank look in your eyes.
Yeah, no. Talking about the fact of what we were just talking about, I completely forgot.
You have to go back and edit this out.
No, I'm not going to edit that. I'm just going to laugh about it.
Are you bored with the conversation?
No, man. Got lost in what I was saying. What were we talking about?
We're talking about how the missionary jumped on.
Okay, because one was just a concern for our U.S. flag and our patriotism. That's one thing. Another is an absolute insult. There's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's even sensitive. in families. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Even in marriages, you have to be careful how you deal with situations about in-laws and stuff like that. I mean, there's jokes about mother-in-laws and father-in-laws and all that kind of stuff. But even then, you have to be sensitive in those areas because you grew up different. She grew up different. The way things are done in her home and his home. And you know what I'm saying? And so if those things are on a familial level, can you imagine how it's taken when you're like, y'all bunch of podunks, we should have taken you out when we could have. It's an absolute insult. And it just blows every opportunity for the gospel.
It doesn't, because this is the problem. It characterizes the actions of a few are meant to represent the country, and you offend not the actions of the few. You offend all the people that would be like, well, I disagree with him doing that. But your words that we should have taken over this podunk of a country, cast them in a bad light. And that that's the environment we have, even as we talk about these things that's going on in the United States. Somebody protests, and we characterize the whole protest.
Sure, sure.
By the violence. And honestly, I think it's on both sides. Somebody destroys a building, and we say, well, all that protest is, they're all in the same thing. It's not true. And so depending on which side you are is how you do that. And looking back on this and trying to look at objectively, look, there are people on whatever side of issue you want to be that go too far.
Yep.
Yeah. They don't represent maybe the majority of people in that movement or that protest. Same thing with that situation here several years ago. It would be unfair to say that all the Dominicans were against the United States and were burning flags and all that. But when you characterize people like that, you use the actions of a few to characterize and paint a picture of everyone, you really limit your ability to go back and minister. And that's one of the things I would say in the big picture of all of this is the people that we want to win to the Lord, many of them are of a different political persuasion.
Yes.
And
yes.
I would say in the United States,
exactly.
How are we going to grow if all we can reach is our little circle of
we've turned it into a clubhouse
echo chamber.
We've turned it into a clubhouse in a certain sense of we only minister to the people who we feel most comfortable with. And the fact of the matter, you're 100% right. The people who we really need to and want to minister to are probably not of the same political affiliation. And that doesn't mean I'm embracing things like abortion. It doesn't mean I'm embracing things like that at all. But God's got to change a heart first before people's viewpoints and opinions are gonna change.
They're not going to be won over by political persuasion.
No,
I'm not ashamed of my political party.
Yeah.
For it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel.
Well, and can I? This may not resound with some. I hope it does with others. I've shared with Gary, and I kind of want to bring this in too. Our time in Venezuela really helped me see our country through a slightly different political viewpoint. There was a time when there was what they call alcabalas in Venezuela, where there still are everywhere, but they stop you. It's a checkpoint. And we were told that if we had any kind of political stuff on our phone at all, which we were on Instagram all the time, that was the only news that we had was through Instagram. That's the only way we knew what was going on. Our neighbors were on it. They would send us messages through Instagram. But there was a lot of political junk that came through it too. And then through WhatsApp, those were the only two major lines of communication. Anytime we got in the car, we had to erase those programs from our phone. It's very unsettling to think that you could go out there and anybody could randomly stop you and And we may be on the verge of, we're looking at some media blackouts right now. We're looking at things not being covered or not being talked about or, swept under the rug. And religiously, that same thing may happen to us in the United States as well. We may begin to lose some of our rights. But you know what it did for us is it came to the point where we erased our phone and we just had to step out by faith and go. And I'm not saying we're super missionaries. I'm saying maybe this is a blessing. Because things are, we always associate blessings with prosperity. Monetary prosperity, but maybe God putting us in allowing us to be in a bit of a pinch right now in the United States, I'm saying, might cause us to be thankful for who He is and trust Him and not necessarily our wallets or our bank accounts. You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, sure.
And so I think that's one. And then the second thing is, we were shocked a little bit culturally here because things, even though there is poverty here, but there's just not the sense of desperation there was in Venezuela. And so people are not quite as quick to run to the gospel here as they were in Venezuela. There's definitely a desperation, even amongst who I would call staunch Catholic. We had a lot of conversations, not so much here. not so much here, but there's more prosperity in the sense there's a more stable government, there's a more stable economy. And so, again, God is not willing that any should perish. Maybe this persecution is going to force people, not to trust in the American dream and force their dependence back upon God, because God knows who's in office. God has, how you want to paint that out, God puts him there or allows him there. Jesus didn't minister in the best of political times whatsoever. The Romans weren't necessarily doing great things at the time that Jesus was here on earth for his years of ministry. And so this is nothing new that we're facing.
Yeah, I think it's if it doesn't force, it's definitely going to clarify. It's going to clarify where our allegiances are and what our priorities are,
yep.
At the home level. And so when things get uncomfortable and you risk consequences, are we going to be able to stand firm on what we believe? And I'm not talking about standing firm on, a political position, but I'm just talking about what is our first priority? What's the heart of what we're, what's our heartbeat of our ministry and our church? And so, I guess to wrap this up on as far as my thoughts on this is, we both believe the Bible clearly teaches that God has established, the rule of government.
Sure.
And I would say that there is nothing wrong with if you feel like God has equipped you and given you that, ability to work in the arena of politics, that by all means use that to, or have a voice. There's nothing wrong with those things.
Work.
Just don't lose sight
of
the main thing. And sometimes, it seems like people get so carried away on the political road that you really wouldn't even know that they're, sold out for Jesus because they're talking about their political party or their leader or whatever. And so don't send mixed messages would be my encouragement. Be all about Jesus and, this is why we want to be involved in politics or whatever, but don't send confusing messages.
Right. And the freedom you have to express yourself, you don't realize that a majority of the world doesn't even have that freedom to express themselves. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So reserve it for a time that makes sense. Reserve it for a time that's going to make a difference and not always just having to blurt out exactly. I think the sad thing in all of this is that we've lost friendships in social media because we didn't come to the exact same point. I think that's really divided. And I think, too, that we've associated that we've equated patriotism with spirituality, and it's not the same. I'm no less patriotic than anybody else. My dad served. My brother served. I'm so thankful for their service. My grandfather's buried in the National Cemetery back in Chattanooga. I mean, those things are very, very, very important to me. I don't take those things lightly at all. Had God not called me to this, probably would have gone into the military myself. God had different plans, but I am very appreciative for the sacrifice made on our behalf for our country. And I think within the system that has been given to us, the government that God has allowed us to have, even though it doesn't always function the way it should correctly, that is the out per se that he's given us to work within the confines of that system to try to. So as you're saying, if you want to be politically active, be politically active, get involved. Just don't lose your focus on keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
Relationship with God is the main thing. Your job hasn't changed. You're still a disciple maker, should be. And your job is to get the message out. And your citizenship is in heaven. Your citizenship is with him. Don't get lost in, we've seen this cycle how many times over in our lifetimes too.
Yeah. You can win an argument and lose the person. And so I'd rather bite my tongue on some things politically to be able to win the heart and be able to win a hearing so I can talk to someone. And because at the end of the day, we're not going to give account for our political, views and how we, move people from one party to another.
Exactly.
It's going to be what we did with Jesus and how we used, how we used our life to bring others to him or to reflect his glory.
Yep.
And so, I don't want my political to create barriers. And so, again, I don't have to be, it's not about being against conservatism. It's not about being against the United States. It's not about putting them down.
As conservative as you could be.
Trying to be fake and trying to, be something I'm not. But it's about letting some arguments and some positions sort of just kind of settle and making much more about Jesus.
And in the end game is, if I were to drop dead today, how are people going to remember me?
Yeah.
As a flag-toting patriot or as a Jesus-loving disciple?
Yeah. Who loved his country.
Who loved his country. And there's nothing wrong with having right. that exactly in that order. Correct. I love Jesus. I want to do what he wants me to do. I love the country he's given me. And within every means possible, within the system that he's given me, I'm going to continue to try to maintain that country what it should be. But my allegiance is to his kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, amen. I mean, the question I would have is if, like, let's say you're conservative. Okay, we're both conservatives. Okay, we're both Republicans.
Watch it now. Let's say we're conservative.
Okay. All right. Well, I know who I am, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'm going to put my mask on.
Yeah. No, okay. So, you know, could my circle of Democrat friends, and here, that's even an assumption, do I have Democrat friends?
Yeah. Good
do
point.
I have Democrat,
good point.
But let's say that I have this circle of friends that are of different political persuasion, would they look at me and say, you know what, we sure did disagree on political, but I knew he loved me.
Yep.
And I knew he cared for me. And I knew, I mean, he was always talking to me about Jesus. He was always talking to me about, you know, how Jesus could change my life. And he showed me and he ministered to me and he loved me.
Right. Or he was a strong man of conviction, but yep. but there was no doubt that he ministered and loved people.
Right. And I don't think that message is getting out. I think a lot of barriers are going up and we don't have friends outside of our political persuasion. We're not showing the love and care of Christ. You know, and so I'm not trying to paint a wide generalization, but just some observations, I think, make much about Jesus.
Yep.
And I think it'll take care of
us. Gary, I think it's a good place to wrap it up here. 45 minutes, man. This is awesome. And I think we've really hit the points important. Remember who is your king. Remember who is your absolute authority. And guess what? There's no Republican or Democrat party there. He is an absolute conservative. He loves you. That's what God originally intended it for anyway, to be a theocracy and not this human government.
Did you say he was an absolute conservative?
God has got to be a conservative. How could he not be?
What's interesting about that is that God, it's a theocracy. I mean, we don't get a vote in God's kingdom.
So when I say conservative, I don't mean he's a Republican. I'm not calling God a Republican.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying conservative in the sense that he doesn't love abortion and that's what I mean. Sure. So
we can't even finish this out without arguing.
But the point being in all that is my allegiance is to his kingdom, his work. Amen. That's what he's called me to, and that's where it's at. So we appreciate you guys for listening, and this is good. It's good talk to have. This is really meant to be an encouragement. We even though we may not always come at things exactly the same angle, Gary and I enjoy chatting and talking with each other, even outside the podcast. And these are good conversations to have with your family, with your church. And make sure that we keep the main thing, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's given us one job to do, and that's to get out his message to the rest of the world, regardless of political party, political situation, and Gary just got a text. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great day. Thanks again for listening to the Vision Life 365 podcast. Be sure to check out our website, visionlife365.org, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast for a new episode each and every week. Thanks so much for being a part and being with us here, and we look forward to being with you again next week.